after this, Mike will present us with a lesson.
See this number out tonight. Good to have some visiting with us. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you have your Old Testament tonight, if you will, turn with me to the book of Exodus and the 13th chapter. And in the book of Exodus and the 13th chapter, I want to read one verse to get the thought for our study. In the book of Exodus, chapter 13, look with me, if you will, kindly at verse 8. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. When you read through the book of Exodus, and especially in the 12th chapter in verse 31, all the way down to Exodus 13, 16, you'll find many outstanding statements. You can find a lot of material that you could just take and preach and never grow old as you read through that particular passage. However, when I was making a study, that verse stood out to me in verse 8 when the divine revelation said, this is done because of what the Lord did for me. And that is dealing with the Israelites leaving the land of Egypt after 430 years of slavery. We find that in Exodus 12, 40 and 41. They were in slavery 430 years to the very day. And here was a nation on the march, leaving the land of oppression, leaving the land of slavery, and going to a land flowing with milk and honey. And so when you read the book of Exodus, and in particular chapter 12 and 13, you'll see that the chapters are basically about remembrance, holding on to the moment and not allowing yourself to forget an important event. You know, we commemorate important events. We celebrate anniversaries, we celebrate birthdays, and we do so we will not forget. And what I'd like for us to do for just a few moments of our time is observe several things from these two chapters and then make application to our lives. The first thing I want us to recognize is that the Israelite nation was in Egypt because Joseph had provided the opportunity for all those years ago. You remember that Joseph had come down to the land when his people were in a famine. He'd been sold into slavery. And you remember he was there when the famine came. And because he was in Egypt and had interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh, Egypt was prepared for the famine. And then his people came and were reunited with Joseph. And yet, my friend, after Joseph had died, with the passing of time, the days of hospitality, thank you, hospitality became days of hostility. And I want you to think about the hospitality becoming hostility, slavery and oppression. And there arose a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. And they were no longer grateful for his actions that saved the Egyptian nation. And do you see what happens when one forgets? When one is no longer grateful for what has been done for them? And so God sends Moses to remind Pharaoh, these are God's people. This most likely is Ramses II who reigned, and Moses comes to instruct him to let God's people go. And when he refused, calamity struck Egypt time and time again, with the 10th plague being the killing of the Egyptians' firstborn in a single night. And yet at the same time, salvation of the firstborn in every house that was under the blood of the Passover sacrifice. Go back to the book of Exodus in the 12th chapter, and you'll see in verse 13 where God had instructed the Israelite to put the lamb's blood on the door, and when he saw the blood, he would pass over their house. But when you read in the book of Exodus and the 12th chapter, you'll see Pharaoh's reaction. In Exodus chapter 12, after the firstborn had been put to death, notice what he says to Moses in verse 31. Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. Notice he said, get out. And then look in verse 33. The Egyptians urged the people that they may send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we shall all be dead. Can you imagine what it was like when these individuals awoke and saw their firstborn dead? Can you imagine what the mourning and the wailing in Egypt when they looked down and saw their firstborn, no matter their age, dead? And here they are in grief, and Pharaoh says, go, bless me as you go. And the people say, can you not urge them to get out with haste? And notice, if you will, in verse 35 and 36, Pharaoh gives the Israelites treasure. The children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Notice, my friend, that here was the people going, and they were getting treasure. Perhaps the Israelites gave it as a bribe to leave, or perhaps it was a long overdue payment for years of slave labor. But I'll tell you one thing. Some scholars said that at this time, there would be about 2 million Israelites on the march. Now then, think about what God wants the Israelite nation to remember. He's the one that brought them out. He's the one that brought the plagues upon the Egyptian nation. He's the one that saved their firstborn. In fact, that's why it's called the Passover. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over your house. I won't kill your first child. And so every year they were to celebrate the Passover feast. God wanted the Israelite nation to remember. So he instituted the Passover feast so the people would remember what the Lord did for them. It's a feast to be repeated every year. And for a moment, consider the importance of remembering. In chapter 13 and verse 1 and 2, notice that he said, consecrate in verse 2, to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. You know, the firstborn child for a time, you know what they became? Levites. And that's where the Levite nation came from, where the priests would become. They were set apart. The first of everything belonged to God. He had, as we said this morning, priority. But then in Exodus chapter 13, look at verse 9. In verse 9, he said, it shall be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. Look, he says, it's a sign on hands, forehead, and in mouth to tell others what the Lord had done for his people. It was a teaching moment for the children. Go back to verse 8. In verse 8, he said, you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. When the son said, why are we eating this feast? What is with all these things that we're making? What's the purpose of it? He said, it's a teaching moment. You tell that child, it's because of what the Lord did for me. That I was in slavery, I was in oppression, I was in a place I didn't want to be, and yet by God's grace, He took me out of that place of oppression and brought me to a land of promise. I think that's a beautiful thing. It was a testimony to others what God had done for them. And He said, you teach it. He said, you keep this ordinance in verse 10 in its season from year to year. You're to keep the Passover feast so your children will understand why and what I have done. Now then, I want to take that and make some application in the lesson jerks. We need things to remind us of what is important. You know, Sunday is the Lord's Day. And we should set it aside to remember, to reflect, and to meditate on what God has done for us. So often we forget because we don't keep the Lord's Day. We don't partake of the Lord's Supper as we should. You remember, Jesus instituted it when? It's interesting. It's during the night of the Passover feast, is it not? And in 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul said He became our Passover lamb. We need to remember what Jesus did to deliver us from the bondage of sin. But we don't take it once a year. We take it every week. Why? We are forgetful people. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, what did He say? When the disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread, why did they come? Because they needed to remember what Jesus did for them. You want to know why tonight a lot of people's faith is waning and a lot of people are leaving the faith and they're going back into the world? You want to know why tonight a lot of people are starting their own religion and not following the authority of God's Word? They have forgotten what God has done. And they have forgotten that God is on high and that God is majestic and that God rules and that God has all authority. And we have a generation of people that they have very little commitment to the Lord. He was committed to saving us from sin and delivering us from bondage. What have we committed to Him? Open your Bible, if you will, to the Roman letter in the 6th chapter. And notice where we were. When you come to the Roman letter in the 6th chapter, notice that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he puts in their mind what we were in verse 17. In verse 17, he said, but God be thanked that though you were, underscore that word, slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'll tell you what else you became, sons of God. And Paul will talk about that in Galatians chapter 4. And so here we recognize that we need to commit ourselves to God. But I want to tell you something else. We need to remember to teach our children. Not only do we need things to remind us of what is important, and not only do we need to let this memory motivate us to be committed, we need to remember to teach our children. I love the statement in verse 8. This is done because of what the Lord did for me. And if you drop down to verse 14, you'll see that this is a teaching moment. In verse 14, so it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this that you shall say to him? By strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. When we partake of the Lord's Supper and our children say, I want cracker or I want some juice. You know what this is? A teaching moment. And say, no, it's not just juice. It's not just a cracker. But this is something that symbolizes, represents, is the body of Christ. Is the blood of the Son of God. And we partake of it in remembrance of Him. That is a teaching moment.
Oh, I wonder if we take time to teach our children the importance of remembering. When they ask, why do we have to go to church on Sunday? Do we use that as a teaching moment? I tell my children, we don't have to, we get to go. You ought to be thankful you get to go. There are people in other nations dying to worship the Lord, and we have to beg them to come here. Isn't that something? You know, I've been doing a study with some people in India from time to time. And sometimes it starts at 10 o'clock at night here, 8 o'clock in the morning there. And there they are sitting in under a tent, just a group of people looking at this ugly face, wanting to hear the truth of God. And I thought about, if we had to sit out in a tent, all we would do is hear complaining and complaining and complaining. And we would forget what God has done for us. We need to remember to teach our children. And we need to remember our indebtedness. Who are we? In John 15, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without God, we're nothing. Without the blood of Jesus washing away our sins and making us safe, we are condemned people. Do you remember when you were baptized? You remember the feeling of knowing your sins had been washed away? Oh, how indebted we are to God. If we saw how indebted we are, we would give as we should. We would live as we should. We would walk as we should. We would teach as we should. I want to ask you a question. Do you ever take time during the day to take moments to teach your children and grandchildren? Someone may say, I'll tell you what the problem with the Church of Christ is. Our Bible class teachers aren't doing it. I'll tell you something, my friend. Our Bible class teachers are already overworked at Eastside. And they're doing everything they can to teach your children. And you may say, well, I'll tell you the problem is the preacher. That may be. But I'll tell you one thing I know. A lot of the problem is we're not teaching our children in the home. And as the home goes, so goes the church. And if our children aren't learning, you can blame everybody else. But sometimes we need to look in the mirror and say, am I taking the time I need to teach my children? Am I taking time to teach my grandchildren? Do we see how indebted we are to God? In 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 14, David in his commitment to the building of the temple says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willing as this? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and without hope. David, in his commitment in the building of the temple, says, you, Lord, we are nothing without you. Today, if we saw how indebted we truly are, we would want to freely give. I'll tell you one other thing. We need to remember others are watching us. If you go back to the book of Exodus, notice he said in verse 13 and verse 9, it shall be from a sign to you on your head and a memorial between your eyes, and the Lord's law may be in your mouth. If it's in your mouth, what's it supposed to do? Come out. Sometimes everything else but the Lord's law comes out. And I want you to think about, my friend, as God's people, are we a good testimony to the Lord? Are we living in such a way that glorifies Him? Have you ever stopped to think that God has not forgotten us? In Isaiah, the question is, will a mother forget her nursing child? And we'd say, oh no. He says in the Bible, some have. But I will not forget you. So the question is, how can we forget God? Go back to that statement in verse 8. This is done because of what the Lord did for me. Have you ever thought what the Lord has done for you? I'll tell you something, my friend. I get chills when I think about what the Lord has done for me. An unworthy sinner. But He did it because He loves us. And I'm going to teach my children, and I'm going to remind my children that they need to continue to walk in the faith. that I don't care as much about their grades as I do about their walk with Christ. And that that comes first. When I was growing up, my dad had an old truck, and me and one of the boys in the neighborhood would get on the back, and we would play like we were trash men. We'd get off and act like we were throwing trash in the back of the truck. I thought it was so much fun. My friend did. His mom came out one day and said, "Stop. I don't want you playing that. I don't want you to be a trash man. You're going to do more than be a trash man." And I remember my mom saying to me, "Son, I don't care if that's what you do as long as you're right with God." Sometimes we say, "Oh, I want my child to be a lawyer. I want my child to be a psychologist or a doctor." I'll tell you, those things are fine. Those things are great. But I'll tell you something. Don't do it at the cost of their soul. That's the most important thing. This was done because of what the Lord did for me. If you're here and you're not a child of God, you can become one tonight. Be a slave of righteousness by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite you to come.